Today we're finishing Jonah with Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Okay, so this is the last chapter of Jonah for us. If you wanted a happy ending to this book, you probably would have been satisfied at the end of yesterday's chapter, chapter 3. In that, after Jonah goes to Nineveh and gives his 8-word sermon, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, the people of Nineveh believe in God and repent. And even the king orders a fast where people put on sackcloth. The last verse from chapter 3 was, When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented because of the disaster. God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. God relented because the Ninevites repented. They turned from their evil ways. A nice ending to how God used Jonah after all, right? Not so fast. In this chapter, we see how Jonah acts even after experiencing all that he has, being in the fish for 3 days and seeing this miracle of mass repentance. Jonah is angry. Right in verse 1, God relented from the disaster, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And just as genuinely and openly as he was thanking God in chapter 2 for saving him from the sea, in this chapter he lets God know what is going on in his heart. He says, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. He reveals that he purposely was fleeing, avoiding Nineveh, because he knew that this might happen. He says, For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. This phrase of God being merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love is found throughout the Old Testament. It captures the goodness of God so well. And usually it's in the context of praise God, this is how good he is, and how lucky we are to be his people, though we've messed up many times. But here, Jonah's context is that he's mad at God for being this kind of God. He's mad at God for being so good to the Ninevites. We don't know exactly why he despises them so much. Back in chapter 1, Pishon gave us some background about how the Ninevites in Assyria were basically a rival kingdom to the Israelites. But in any case, Jonah is angry at God for showing them mercy, to the point where he prays for God to take his life. God responds nicely by not killing him and instead asking him, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah doesn't give a response here, probably just continuing to stew in his anger. God then teaches Jonah a lesson using a plant and a worm. To sum up what happens, Jonah goes off to the side, waiting to see what would become of the city. It appears that he's still hoping that God will strike it down. God provides him a plant to give him shade, to which Jonah is exceedingly happy. But then the next day, God sends a plant to eat the worm. God sends a worm to eat the plant. And Jonah, this very extreme prophet, gets so hot and so uncomfortable that he wants to die again. And God asks a very similar question as before, this time specifically about the plant. Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And this time Jonah responds to God, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And this is when God gives him the point of the lesson, that Jonah pities this one plant that he did not labor for so much, so how could God not pity the city of Nineveh? God tells Jonah he cares for that great city, full of 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, not to mention the cattle in the city. I'm reminded of how Jesus was full of compassion when he walked the earth and he saw the crowds in the New Testament. While the disciples many times saw the masses of people as logistical problems, Jesus always saw them as God's beloved creation. And throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and Jonah and New Testament, God is just constant in his love for all his people, especially those who are lost and do not know any better. Jonah may be a very extreme example of missing the heart of God for his people. But reflecting on our own hearts, what are the ways that we miss the heart of God for his people? Are there people we may want to judge more than we would like to see them turn to God and forgot to show them mercy? Or just in general, do we catch ourselves caring disproportionately for things of the earth versus his people? As an example, I remember a couple summers ago, one evening, there was a significant NBA trade. Kyrie Irving was being traded to the Celtics for Isaiah Thomas. I was really surprised by the news and started reading a bunch of articles on my phone about why this happened and what people thought. Right around the same time, now I got a text from a high school friend, somebody I knew as well, saying that he was getting baptized on Sunday and that we were invited to go to the service. She was really surprised because she had no idea that he was going to be baptized, let alone that he was growing in his faith, that God was working in his life. But in the moment, I was like, okay, that's nice. Let me finish reading about this trade. Only later on, it hit me. Why did I care so much about this basketball trade and so little for hearing this good news about our friend deciding to get baptized, deciding to take the step of faith? That was a moment for me of, oh wait, I don't have the things in the right order in my heart. Today, let's go before God and ask him to be filled with his love for his people. It may not be basketball for us today, it may be another form of entertainment or work that are the equivalents of the plant for Jonah, something that we care too much about compared to our care for God's people. If we need to repent for apathy in general towards God's people, or racism, or a disdain towards a certain group of people, let's do that. Let's repent and ask for God to change our hearts. As the book of Jonah ends in a question, it's an invitation for us to answer this question as well. Do we know God's heart? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this book of Jonah, and Lord, we thank you that it's not a happy ending, and that we see the ugliness of Jonah's heart, and God, that we don't like to admit it, but there's also still a lot of parts in our heart that are ugly still, and Lord, we need you to do your work in us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would understand your heart that is so great for your people. So Lord, whether it's for our coworkers or people we pass by each day. Lord, we ask for your compassion and a feeling of understanding your love for them. And Lord, we're sorry for the ways that we don't see them in that way, and the ways where we'd rather care a lot more about a plant that helps us instead. So Lord, we ask for your help, and we pray for you to do a great work in our hearts and in our church's hearts. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.